Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So tonight I have my good friend Chris with me. We're going to be reviewing Peacemaker episode three and four of Peacemaker. Another Rick Up My Sleeve and Need I Say Door is the name of the episodes that we're going to be talking about tonight and diving into those episodes. So let's go on ahead. Let's welcome Chris back to the show and let's do this. And hey, man, welcome back.
Hey, John, how's it going?
It's going really good. It's always good to be able to be in company with you watching these episodes and just geeking out over Peacemaker season two. But how's it going for you?
It's going pretty good. Things have been moving along in film world and, you know, just plugging along so far.
That's great. That's great, man. I'm happy to hear that. You know, your filming is actually starting to pick up a lot and everything, getting some jobs. That's always a good thing. So with that being said, let's go on ahead. Let's get into this. Another Rick Up My Sleeve is what we're going to be talking about. And so this actually takes place 3 years ago. Rick Flag and Amelia was dating and he's cheating on her with Enchantress, which yes. To me is the most dangerous thing that you could do.
Right. Blow up the planet, like.
Not only that, dude. She can pretty much take his balls and just throw them like it was nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's a ballsy move.
It's definitely ballsy if you're gonna get neutered by Enchantress.
Right.
Like, you know, I didn't really care for Enchantress for the Suicide Squad movie or anything, but I thought it was neat that they actually tied that into it. To give it a little extra flavor to it, even though I didn't care for Enchantress, I thought they could actually do without Enchantress. It looked like that she was doing like a Macarena dance every single time whenever I would see her on screen. But then you have Chris's brother waking up, Chris kicking his bed, worried that Chris has relapsed. Mm-hmm. And I love the chemistry between them two. I really love the fact that he has his brother back. I also like how he's making him eggs in the morning time.
Right.
So, are you going to go see Jarhead? Nah, fuck Jarhead. Yeah, fuck
that guy.
But I really liked it. I mean, I liked the chemistry, and it also makes me think, like, you know what? This is everything that Chris has ever wanted. He got his family back.
Right.
And like I said before, why would I want to live in this other world when I have everything I need and want in this world?
Yeah,
and
he's got his family. He has love interest coming in play, and everything's just been nice for him. Why wouldn't you want that, right?
Exactly. He's got Amelia probably coming back to him because she's still dating Rick Flag Jr. Not only that, but Rick Flag Jr. is also alive in this world, so therefore Rick Flag Sr. is not coming after him, so that's another thing. But also too, I mean, I like how he asked his brother for Argus's address or where Amelia works. He goes, so where does Amelia work? Let me give you the address for Argus. He goes, never mind, I got it, thank you.
He goes, but that was the right answer.
Right, that was the answer, because he goes, pop quiz.
Yeah, pop quiz. And is this even a pop quiz? There's like, I don't know, do I make up the rules? And well, it seems like you are.
And then I like how he walks out the door and he goes, fuck. He goes, what? He goes, I forgot, where's my car? Where's your keys at to your truck? He goes, why don't you drive your Peacemaker mobile, your bike? He goes, okay.
Peace cycle. Yeah, the peace cycle.
The peace cycle. Then he's also looking.
I'm sorry. When he said peace cycle, I thought, you know, immediately I went to like a bicycle. I didn't think of a motorcycle.
Now I picture him like on this teenage bicycle with a basket on there, like he's throwing out newspaper, but instead it has like a little homemade thing of calling it his peace bicycle.
Yeah, So I was like, oh no, this is where things are going to go south and it's not all right. But then it's motorcycle and it's really, you know, it's nice looking.
Right. And not only that, but let's talk about his clothes that he picks out. It looks like Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Right. I love, he also makes a comment. He's like, do you really think that I bought these?
Yeah, I like how he goes, you're the one who bought them.
Right. You really think I bought these ads?
And then also, too, like, I like how everybody looks up to Peacemaker. I like how everybody loves Peacemaker in this world. Yeah. And you have one kid going, Peacemaker!
Just Peacemaker! Oh, that's a bit much. I like he says that to you. That's a little overdoing it.
And then he looks over to his right. This woman winds up flashing her boobs at him.
Right. Yeah, and everyone loves Peacemaker in this dimension. He's like the Mr. Fantastic, I guess.
Right, he's basically the Mr. Fantastic of this world, and he's on Cloud 9. He has nobody after him. He doesn't have a racist dad anymore. He has his brother back. He's got everything he ever wanted. He's being looked up to, not looked down to. And even when Red Flag Jr. comes into play, as well, there is some male testosterone, if you think about it. Because he's like, what are you doing here? And then Amelia has to tell him, look, he's here for me. Is it business? No, it's personal.
I just love, he's falling all over himself, trying to listen in to the conversation and everything. Trips over the trash can. It's like, I told you not to put this trash can on this corner.
Like, this is all your fault.
This is all your fault. And then he's like pretending to work with the guy.
Right in that little cubicle, that actually makes me laugh. But I also like how it shows vulnerability with Chris and Amelia, where he's actually opening himself up to her, and he's actually having a chance to have a second chance with her because this version of Chris cheated on her.
Right, he seemed very egotistical in this dimension. Supposedly, his brother was worried that he did drugs. She even brought up that he would probably bring up his delts.
Right.
Yeah. So he seems the peacemaker of this dimension seems like like an arrogant prick.
Exactly. He's just an arrogant asshole like he was in season one, if you think about it.
Yeah, he was a little bit.
Yeah. But I like how he's opening up to her. And then basically it's like, well, are you serious about this? Are you not serious about this? Are you just going to leave me on Christmas Day? Because he actually used his name as Chris, and used Christmas as well, you know, to combine the two.
Yeah, and you're not going to change your mind 3 days later. Yeah.
Right. You know, and then I don't know if I like, I understand why they have the Ozzy Osbourne song in there, you know, but at the same time, it kind of pulls me out of this scene just a little bit because I just don't see it as this romantic thing. I understand this part.
Because it's just I think it maybe it's a play on like Chris's emotional kind of like back and forth with himself and then the whole situation, and then you also got to remember what's going on in the other world, and you know,
because it's also going into the dimension part though too, so that also plays into the song.
Yeah,
it just takes me out just a little bit, even though I like that song, and that came out back when we were in high school. And I always liked that song, but, you know, but I do like the, and then of course I like how they have the bird blindness joke back in here again, with Adrian wanting to be quizzed on crows and spiders now.
Yeah, crows and spiders, and why didn't you tell me that he had a duck?
Because I told you it was an eagle. And then he turns, he goes, that's not a way to play on somebody's bird blindness.
Right. I just love the blank stare of, oh my gosh, I am blinking on her name. The agent that was with him. They're just like, the blank stare is like, why would I make that up? Just a practical joke or something on bird blindness? And then they just zoom in on her and this is just a blank look like, what?
It's basically the same blank stare that, that we got from season one with Danielle Brooks's character, Leota, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What?
And it's like now she's having to be part of this babysitting crew to babysit the guy with the bird blindness and also John over this stupid conversation. And he goes, I didn't say that. I said eagle. I didn't say anything about a duck.
Right. I gotta say, the last two episodes, I really appreciated Economos. He's really like,
yes,
he's really tried to help Chris out, trying to protect him and everything. So, I mean, I didn't really see Economos doing that much in like season one and stuff, but I think it kind of shows his connection with friends here with Peacemaker. He has friends. He's just not seeing it.
Right. Because if you remember John, he was very quiet, very shy and awkward. Now he's kind of come out of his shell a lot more, speaking up against Argus and stuff, and sneaking phone calls and trying to save Chris and things.
Dealing with Vigilante.
Yeah, Vigilante.
Dealing with all the weird questions.
Then you have the Sons of Liberty. Chris goes inside the building with the bombs, not wearing his suit. So I thought him not wearing a suit would actually play into the next episode. Like maybe there was a rule that he has to have a suit on because maybe it's illegal not to have a suit on. So I was just thinking it was probably because of that's what I was thinking that they would actually play in on that. But I like the fact that it's like him, Chris, doesn't need to be Peacemaker in order to save somebody.
Right. Yeah. And he came up with a plan of action and he took it, and I didn't really think too much about the whole uniform thing, but I was kind of focused on him, like, what's going on in the background? Like, why is this place, you know, I have that skeptical, like, this is too good to be true kind of place. And then he came up with the plan, and then he went in and he defused those bombs, right?
Right, like it was nothing.
Like, and then, tell me that was like the easiest movie bomb diffusion ever, right?
It was. All you had to do was take out a USB cord, and that was it. That was the end of it.
Yeah, there's no short.
Right. It goes, okay, done.
Yeah, it's like
no big deal.
Is that it? Best dimension ever.
But I also like how he crashes through the window like Captain America. Too. I like how he does this, and then also through the fight choreography, I thought was really good with this scene as well. I really ended up enjoying that a lot.
Yeah, the Sons of Liberty, a little brief thing there. They all got taken out, and then the poor helicopter guys up there waiting, and then Chris's brother just comes crashing through.
So that was actually Chris's brother that went through, right?
That was his.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. I was like, what is that? Because it happened so fast that I didn't even realize that was what was going on.
He just went straight through and it blew up. And then he landed next to Chris and was like, did you defuse bomb? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. And they're all celebrating and everything.
And then at this moment, too, now we actually have, okay, so the events of Superman carries through this episode at the end of it. I don't know if you've seen the new Superman movie or not.
Yeah, I did see the new Superman movie.
Because they actually mentioned Metropolis in this movie because of the events that happened in Metropolis with the new Superman movie. So they do acknowledge the fact that this is him being taken place in this universe that James Gunn has set up.
Yeah, that's in the normal dimension that we're all used to. Exactly. Yeah, because like we don't need this to happen again. The same thing that happened in Metropolis here. Yeah, I remember that.
And then you have, they want to kill Eagly in this universe, Argus does. And then you have Rick and Jaeger.
I mean, so now, Eagly took out the whole Argus team. So, I mean, tell me how awesome Eagly is, right?
Eagly is just awesome, dude.
And then they had to bring in Mary St. Wild, right? That's what
it's Mary St. Wild. And then you got, then also, too, you also have Jaeger. Now John has to babysit Jagger. He goes, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
It's like, do you remember that time when you hit me with a tire iron? Yeah, I wish you were dead.
I just thought the back and forth between John and him was really good. I also like the fact too, like he's trying to, you know, he's basically trying to he's himself into out of Argus in a sense, because he doesn't want to do anything to Chris, right, to harm Chris. And here they are trying to break into Chris's house.
And he's trying to create so much discourse between the team and everything. So you have John talking to Juggernaut, Jagger. The whole back and forth, you know, it starts getting a little comedic. So you would carry my corpse in front of my loved ones and everything. It's like, no, you're taking it a little too seriously. And then Mary St. Weil and chiming in. And then it was at Flory with the whole wink.
Yeah, he goes, he winked at me. He goes, no, that just means that we're in this together. And then I like how Jager goes, I've been all over the world and never have I ever seen somebody wink at me and say that we're in this together.
That was St. Mary.
St. Mary said that, which is played by Michael Roker.
Yes, who is freaking phenomenal.
He's
right?
Great at this. I really love it. Michael Roker says he kind of reminds me of Willie Nelson with a slight bit of Woody Harrelson.
I feel like he could have played either this role or he could have played Chris's dad, like either one of those two. And he's doing such a great job. He's got that comedy to him, but it's so serious at the same time.
Right. He's taking it serious, but at the same time, though, that's why you're laughing, because of how serious he's taking it.
Right.
Right.
This whole like eagle hunting thing is freaking hilarious.
And he winds up eating it like a chip.
He had the Eagly's bird food, and he just eats it.
3 days old.
Oh, 3 days old. Tastes like lunch meats.
Lunch meats. I'm picking up on something else. Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, did you catch the cut scene?
I laughed my ass off on that.
I wish they would have kept that in the actual episode. That was just hilarious. He just keeps going on and on. Just like, oh, this guy, this bird has a better diet than I do.
Fruity Pebbles.
Caviar.
Caviar. And I like how John's like, how the hell did you know what caviar tastes like?
I was like, now you're just making stuff up. Right? That was great. That was hilarious.
I really loved how that ended. And then, of course, you have Chris's brother, too, before that, is concerned for him and shows the love for Chris. And I always like, this is the quote that I liked. I will always be your brother. And to me, I think that is closure for Chris, that Chris needed. So if he wanted to choose to go back into the dimension that he's in, which is the original dimension that we set him up with, he could actually have closure, be like, look, I don't need this other world when I already have the closure I have for my brother.
Yeah, they all hate me in this other world anyways, right? So what's the matter if I'm gone? So he's getting all this great closure from his brother. And I mean, the next step would be all the closure from his dad.
Right.
Right. And then he's getting some of his love interest back with Amelia. And
right. He's getting everything he ever wanted in this world. He has someone that really wants to be with him, trying to work through their differences. You also have his dad back. He's not racist. You also have his brother back. He has the best of both worlds right now.
I do like that Leota is like, what if this isn't real? She's all having the whole conversation.
It's too good to be true.
I don't think that this is real. This doesn't sound real. Like, you know, and she's actually bringing that to his attention. I was actually wondering if one of his buddies would actually bring that up. Vigilante is too like, oh, I hope there's another me out there. That would be cool. And right. Yeah.
And then you're not going to get that from John, because John is trying to play both sides between Chris and Argus. Right. So I think it was a perfect moment between them two to be able to have that talk. And she goes, he goes, what do you mean it's not real? I went there. I saw everything. What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure it's real.
Exactly. And she goes, that's not what I'm talking about. What if this is too good to be true? What if there's something more to it than that?
Yeah, which is something, you know, I'm really thinking it's going to turn into like there is something horribly wrong with this area. Everything is just too nice.
Right. It almost feels like Andy Griffin, kind of the way the town is. Everybody's happy that Peacemaker's around.
A superhero Andy Griffin show.
Right. I would pay to see that, to be honest with you.
That would be interesting.
But with Peacemaker, right?
Right.
But I still say this. I think that this, you don't see any other nationalities in this or anything. You don't see anybody that's someone of color. You don't see anybody or anything like that in this dimension. So this is me speculating. I'm not saying this is true, guys, or anything that's watching, because I know I'm going to get comments later. But I'm just speculating, and also fan, and this is just a fan theory of mine. What if he's got all his family members back and they're not racist? But what happens if he's actually in a racist town where everybody's racist but his own family? Because that could be the too good to be true kind of thing that she was telling him about.
Yeah, like everything's like super, actually like super nasty in this town area, because he hasn't really left the town area. He doesn't really know the rest of the world, right? As far as we know.
No, so he just knows like this totally, one location.
I think that could be a possibility. I do think that guy that Frank Jr. went to with the trash can, I think maybe he was a different ethnicity. I can't remember, though. I think he, but I could be wrong. I didn't really look that much into that. But now that you say that, it was like, now I'm thinking, it's like, was there? And it could very well be, because his father in our dimension was super like racist, white supremacist crap. And I mean, if his family fits in perfectly in this world, maybe the whole town is. That's a possibility.
Right.
Another idea that I was thinking, you know, you got rid of all the aliens in season one, right?
Right.
What if they actually took everything over in this dimension?
Well, this is another thing, though, too. Remember, at the beginning of this one, it takes place 35 years ago, and they found the door. Chris's dad shoots the alien that happens to have the helmet that his dad makes.
Right, and creates doors, at least one door.
Right. So that tells me, and even whenever you see that other alien that comes out of that other door that we see him in, I think it's a possibility, because you can actually open other doors or anything. There's no boundaries. I don't think that alien will, I think that aliens can go through other doors.
Right.
It says Chris can go through other doors.
Yeah, Chris can go through other doors. You see the alien at the beginning from 35 years ago, and I mean, it really solidifies how abusive his father was to them back then as well. And yeah, there's the whole possibility. I mean, he says hi to the one guy, the one alien, but he never gets in, and he gets mad at him, right? Exactly. So, I mean, it's a possibility to we just have to kind of see where James is going to take the series, right?
Exactly. But I also like, too, once again, with the conversation between Lita and, you know, Chris and stuff, too, I definitely like the conversation between them, because they're really deep diving this talk with one another.
And they have become like really like, I think they're really good friends at this point, because, you know, she knows when he's flipping out, and they have like deeper discussions now than he would ever usually. Right.
Oh, right. Hey, Mad Dog. Thank you. I appreciate that. Popped up on my recommended. I'll stick around for a bit. Yeah, stick around. Tell me what you guys think about my review and stuff. And if you have any questions or anything, go on ahead and ask inside the chat. I do appreciate that.
Oh, speaking of Leota, it was like, she's so excited. She finally has her ad in that magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Peacemaker is just like, he's like, you know, no one reads that, right? And she goes, what are you talking about? How many people? And he's like, maybe 12. And she's like, what?
He's like, what, 1,200? No, like 12.
Like, and I don't even think that they even read the magazine. I think they just take money from well, you know, want to be mercenary, isn't it? And she's like, what?
Shit.
Yeah.
But I like how they're also teaming up to get this door, get the door back into another location.
Yeah, yeah. It was like he literally stumbles out of the dimension, off of this high, you know, he's feeling good about himself. Everything's working out wonderful. And he flops down on his bed, and then he like rolls over and he sees like bullet hole here, bullet hole there. And then all these floors like, oh shit. And then he comes out and Eagly's out there attacking the refrigerator. Trying to get
Eagly, come on, you gotta get out now. And then you have
no, he gets the text message from John first, right? And he's like trying to decipher it this whole time. We're like, what is he trying to say? Oh shit.
And then I like how also too everybody on Argus is like, who are you texting? Nobody.
Yeah, right. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry like, about it. It's none of your business.
Like messaging all these people and like he's doing it off to the side, but it's so obvious that he's
right.
Doing something.
And at finally, least act like you're gonna take a leak or something and just and then do the text. He goes, look, guys, I just have to drain my lizard for a minute, I'll be right back. But no, he does it wide open, just texting conveniently.
I do like in the towards the end when Rick Sr.'s there, he's like, take his phone away from him. I don't trust him.
He goes, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then I like how he's trying to stall. He goes, because Chris says, look, stall so I can get this door into the cabin.
Right.
And he's like, well, how long? Until I'm done. And he goes, yeah, all I got to do is just take this little square thingy right here.
Oh no, he's like sitting there, he sit there and he stares at it and was like, well, open it up. I was like, I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. Like, you hacked into the CIA at the age of 14. I was like, well, yeah, but I got caught. And I swore to myself that I would never get caught again. Just find the way to do
just find a way to open the door.
And he goes, open the door, asshole.
Like, okay, no, not a problem. Oh, I got to use this little square thingy right here. And then I got to connect this cord into this.
And then, well, we got the, whoa, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I think that was a cat.
It's like, what? I think there's a cat in the drawer. And she's like, I'm not worried about the damn cat in the drawer. Okay, well.
Alice. Right.
And then remember what else he says to Chris? He's like, well, hopefully we'll be able to get the cat out of the drawer after this. So,
right.
Okay.
You know, we got to go searching for that cat after this, you know. And then it was like, okay, now I'm going to put these electrodes here.
Right. Let's see. Mad Dog says, I personally like season one better than two. So for maybe once it's all about in hindsight, it'll be different. But so far, it's just too goofy for the entire DCU and has been all gun-need diversity and serious stuff. See, for me, I can understand your point. I do. Because I know some other people that have the same issue. And I respect your opinion on that as well. For me, I think it still fits the same tone. I know some people were like, well, there's just too many bits in this show and stuff. And everything feels like an SNL skit and feels like a bit versus it being a whole entire show that we got and plot that we got. Because we're only, what, we're four episodes in. And there's still nothing a lot going on.
Other than it does seem a little slow with these last two episodes.
Right, because I feel like episode three was basically kind of filler.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's getting us familiar with this universe that Chris is wanting to go to, you know?
I can see it, but, you know, it's a... I almost feel like it's kind of a different dimension from season one, honestly.
Right.
I really do think that we're watching a different dimension from season... Like, we have all these parallels, right? But you have the slight small differences. Like when this season started, the whole end of season one was changed to the new.
Right, because of Superman and because he wanted to have everything connected. Well, Peacemaker made a small appearance in Superman, and then we got this connected world within Superman itself as well. Just a different tone and a lot more
because
vulgar.
at the end of season one, you had Superman, you had The Flash, and Wonder Woman, and at this one, you had Hawk Girl, Guy, and it's just slightly different, you know.
So well, not only that, but even the cutscene, they actually put Mr. Terrific in that cutscene. Yeah,
that's true. Mr. Terrific is there too.
But
I think we're seeing a slight different dimension,
like a change of pace a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not the exact same dimension as season one. So maybe there's going to be more Chris's popping up here in the future.
Thank you for bringing that up, because Lita even said, he goes, well, I can't go back. I have to go back over to that other dimension. Why? Because I killed Chris. I killed my other self. Just what the fuck? How do you kill your own self?
It was an accident. Didn't mean to.
Right? Mad Dog says the bird blindness joke. He laughed once and then just kept on going. For me, I enjoy that joke because you never know when it's going to pop up again in an episode. But I do hope that maybe in the next couple of episodes, they move away from it some. And I hope that they actually do more with Adrian besides the whole entire crow trivia thing, the bird trivia stuff.
The bird trivia, the tarantula trivia.
Right. Even though the crows can go ahead, take someone's dick, and, you know, and kill somebody with it or something.
I have a feeling that it's probably going to die down a little bit, but at the same time, it'll keep going throughout the season just because now we have Mary St. Wilde chasing after Eagly, and we still have Flurry in the picture. So I think the joke will probably still be there. Hopefully it does die down a little bit. I can see it being a little used a little too much where we're at. And it was hilarious at first. They even had like a little like promotional video where they were talking about bird blindness, which was hilarious.
I love when you sent that to me, I was dying laughing when I saw that.
I saw that. It was hilarious. But I could see how the joke could be run too long.
Me too.
So yeah, I can agree with that. So
because I get like that too sometimes. I'm like, here we go again with the same joke and the same beat for beat, where I want something different versus something that I've already seen before. So I totally get it. And Mad Dog's viewpoint is definitely respected. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I actually feel the same way. So let's see here.
Mad Dog. A comedian has to change up his shtick every now and then, right?
Exactly. So. Let's see here. He says, I'm fine with Vigilante bit because he is a psychopath, but the Flurry character is just an idiot.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Flurry is just an idiot.
Yes. And he goes, you almost got me and titties killed.
Yeah. He keeps calling her titties too, which is like, what?
The first time I laughed, and I'm with Mad Dog on certain things, I laughed on the first time. The second time, I'm like, okay, it's no longer considered funny.
Yeah, I don't even think he knows what her name is at this point. So no. I think that's just why he keeps calling her that.
But I also like how this episode deals with how Chris's dad found the helmets, and then John's Incubo pushes the ends up pushing the hippie dude down because he's trying to save Chris from him shooting Eagly.
Right. He pushes Wild down to the floor, and then he's like trying to come up with a cover score, like right on the fly. And I was like, oh yeah. And then just another eagle came and just knocked you down to the ground.
Right, because there was two eagles. That doesn't make any sense. Why would it be two?
But that's what I'm saying. Why would
right? That's two? Coincidental. That's like, what. That's why. That's why you got knocked down.
So now Wild thinks that Eagly is like this some Native American eagle god that rolls over all eagles, and now he must bring Eagly down. And just seeing him doing that whole Native American dance was just like, what?
I'm like, okay, this is a little much. I don't want to see old man balls. You know what I mean? He takes the blood and he the whole entire thing just lights up, and then you see Eagly flying to the cabin.
Right. Just Oh, I know where you're at now. My third eye is woken up, son.
I can see everything.
Yeah, and then he like uses his blood to draw out like an eagle in the sand.
But I also like how, you know, once he gets the door up, once Chris gets the door up and everything, and Argus winds up trying to break the door down, finally.
Yeah, finally getting
it. It's just a regular closet.
Yeah, just sweaters. Like, so I have to wonder, is like, are those all sweaters from when he was a kid and stuff?
Probably.
That's when the door was open. So it's all these like 30-year-old sweaters or some crap.
And even they're wondering, like, why are these just clothes in here? And why does he have a combination to this?
And the machine that made the door was in a completely different room, just stuffed in a random box, too. You would think that that would be locked up somewhere else.
Exactly, no, dude.
It was just in a bunch of pile of boxes. Like, what?
I agree with Amelia. Why would she want to help Rick Flag Jr. when they pretty much X and Nate Hate off the list? And she's trying to rediscover who she is, and all she's doing is getting into fights. And then she winds up telling them, hey, look, I know where Chris is. I'm going over there to see him. And I'm wondering if Chris is going to go on ahead and turn back around as soon as he knows something's up before he even gets out of the car. But yeah. Then again, Chris is also kind of like a jock. And I don't know. I think that he'll still go into the trap.
Yeah, I think, well, I think that he will go into the trap. He probably won't see it coming. I think he's still kind of on this, like, even though he just went through the fight in the woods and running from everyone, he still kind of has this like kind of a high from being in the other dimension, and he's really hoping to maybe connect with Amelia or whatever. So I think he's going to go straight into the trap, honestly.
Yeah, knowing him, he will.
Yeah. And then he'll try and fight his way out.
Right.
He'll try and fight his way out, and it's just not going to be pretty for anyone.
No, but what do you think about Jagger and Chris fighting? Because remember, Chris is running through the woods, and then you see Jagger on the right-hand side, and Jagger's over there doing flips and shit, and then they get into this whole entire fight, and then he winds up tossing him like WWE fashion. Yeah. And then he also throws the helmet off the hill, and then they're both rolling off the hill. And then at that point,
I like when he first starts fighting him, he throws the lunch meat at his face. Yeah. The meat that he had for Eagly, trying to lure Eagly out. I didn't even realize he still even had it in his hand, and he just like throws it at him. And then just so
it just ding, and that's it. It just falls off of his helmet, and that's the end of it.
Yep.
And then I like how Chris also lands on top of Jagger, though, too.
I
thought he was dead. Because
I thought he was too. I was like, oh my gosh, and this big guy just landed on top of him after a big fall like that. And then you do see him stumbling out of the woods at the end. So, you know, he's still there. We'll still see our little Vietnamese guy.
Yep, we'll still get to see him. But I thought this episode was really good. I really liked how it was structured. I liked the deep conversation, even though there's a lot of goofiness within this show. Mm-hmm. It does have some moments of where it does take itself serious a little bit with Lita and him talking. So that's one of the things I do like. And they even did that with season one, where there was like comedy. And then there was also within the comedy was the drama that and the stuff that he went through. Yeah, yeah. It's for us to laugh at. But at the same time, it's trauma, different things that he went through as a kid with his dad being racist and not him not knowing things that he didn't know that was racist. It was just things that he thought that was normal. So it deals with so much stuff in season one, and then going into season two, it still has that kind of flavor to it, where it doesn't change the tone in a sense.
And then we also have a serious moment between Amelia and Rick before she sets up the trap for Chris, trying to get her back into Argus. It's a serious moment. Like, this is her career, but then at the same time, it's Chris. She doesn't want to admit that she has feelings for him, but you can kind of tell that there's some sort of connection there. But this is her career. This is what she knows. So you see the fight there, And it's a more serious tone as well.
Exactly. So before we close out, I do want to address one more thing that Mad Dog had said. And it was about, it's just too goofy. The entire DCU has been all gun, need diversity and serious stuff. Here's the thing. I think he knows the tone that he wants to go for certain characters. Now, if he makes Batman into the way he makes Peacemaker or Superman, because Batman's more gritty. He's more of the dangerous part of the vigilante stuff. So he does not need to make this jokey. He can make campy characters out of the stuff for Batman, but he does not need to go full on goofy for right. The tone or anything. This is why he needs other directors besides his own self to build up this universe for Batman and stuff. I think that he needs to separate himself also from doing other comic book movies, because he's already working on Superman 2. He's yeah. already got a script he's making for that. I think that James Gunn is a great creative. I like him as a director and a writer, but I also think he needs a little bit of breathing room to be able to approve certain scripts and allow other directors to come in after him and be like, hey, look, I got ideas as well, and we can probably expand on some of your ideas, and we'll put those ideas in our script. So I think it's time for him to at least be in control of the DC universe and let other people to be able to grow.
And I think it's kind of a breather too. We've had such super serious hero stuff for the past several years. Having something a little lighter kind of is needed in these times. I mean,
right.
look at how serious everything has been for, I'd say, the last decade at least, aside from like Guardians of the Galaxy, which had some comedy to it, but it was still serious stuff.
Right, it was serious moments. Let's see, Mad Dog says, I'm a little confused. Was Amelia and Rick Flagg Jr. a couple in the main universe? Maybe I just forgot. Here's the thing. They never, as far as I remember, though, in Suicide Squad 1, they never really addressed him and Amelia. It was him and an Enchantress that was together.
Right.
So in this one, we actually know that he's been cheating on Enchantress with Amelia.
In the new dimension.
Yeah, and then in the new dimension. So,
dimension that we're calling normal, I don't think it's really been connected that he was ever with Amelia.
Okay.
As far as I could tell, in this dimension, you can't it's never really been connected that he, Junior was with Amelia. But
that's
in
right.
the alternate dimension, he is with Amelia, but he's also cheating on Enchantress, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, like I said, you do not want to cheat on someone with a witch. That's just asking right. for problems. But if Mad Dog, if you have any more questions or anything, go on and shoot them into the live chat and stuff. Talk to us. We'll be here until at least 9 o'clock a little bit. But if not, we're gonna go on ahead and close out. If anybody wants to comment or anything like that as well, go on ahead and comment if you're watching. Also, too. This podcast is also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and stuff like that too. So go on ahead, give me a 5-star rating if you guys see it deemable as well, because we have a lot of stuff on our audio podcast as well. We have all the Dexter reviews, even though you can get that on here as well. But if you want to take our podcast on the go, that's the perfect way to do it. Is hey, Mr. to go on ahead.
Mr. Prowler, if you have any questions, I see you just popped in the chat. Feel free to ask.
Yep. So, but yeah, I think that these two episodes were good. But we need to establish plot. We need to establish a villain. Other than yeah. that, I feel like it's just bit after bit in a sense, even though I'm enjoying it.
I feel like it's moving slow, super slow. Like, I feel like they're making the series seem like it's an ever-going movie, so to speak. Mm. Like a slow build-up, but it's taking way too long, honestly.
Gotcha.
Maybe the villain is this dimension.
Let's see here. Mad Dog says, see you boys checking in. I watched Task episode 1 on HBO today. Nice. And it's really good. Reminds me of the movie Eat the Town. I need to check that out. I've seen it on HBO Max's stuff and I never checked it out. So I might actually have to check out that one. I just got done binging Watson for season 1 of Watson. I thought that was a very different take from what we got with Sherlock.
I haven't seen that one yet, so
Yeah, it's actually Watson working in a medical field, learning things that he learned from Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his own doctors and stuff like that ready available to figure out diagnosis and stuff like that to be able to take cure certain patients and stuff. And, you know, it's actually a different spin. And then you also have, I heard that they're putting in Sherlock in season two. So it's a different spin than what we got for Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock Holmes TV series. But I enjoyed it. I actually have to say, I thought it was a nice little fun series, and season two is going to be coming out soon. Another thing that I'm excited about is Landman's coming out next month, and then you also have what's that other one that I'm watching with Sylvester Stallone?
I just had it at the tip.
Tulsa King.
Tulsa King. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Tulsa King is coming out.
Tulsa King season three. I'm excited for that as well. So I'm actually going to be doing after shows for those two TV series as well. So not only do I do movies, I also do TV reviews as well. So I might actually have to do a review on that first pilot episode, though, Mad Dog. Thank you for recommending that show. So if that's going to be it, guys, I do appreciate Mad Dog popping into the live chat. I appreciate everybody watching on our Instagram. And I hope everyone has... Oh, hold on. Mad Dog says, what I'm looking forward to coming up in the next couple of weeks on Netflix is Black Rabbit, House of Guinness's Peaky Blinders creator. Okay, nice. My wife and I are just now starting Peaky Blinders for the first time. The Slow Horse season 5 and Tulsa King. Okay, so you got some good stuff that you're wanting to check out. And I hope that you go in and check out the first two season reviews that I've done for Tulsa King, because I'm going to be doing season 3 and also season 2 of... Landman. So
Landman's a great series. I like
watching. I love Landman. And here's the thing. I thought I would not like this show because I don't like oil, anything to do with the oil rigs or anything like that. But Billy Bob Thornton, he made me care about what they're doing. So I'm like, I'm enthused with this.
Yeah, show. Billy Bob Thornton is doing a great job on that series.
Yes, he is. Well, guys, that's gonna be as far as the show goes. I do want to thank Chris for coming on the show again. Thank you again for that.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And by the way, guys, we're not going to just do one episode reviews or anything. We're going to combine them two together because I think it's just an easier way to be able to talk about both episodes and just have fun and just do this with you guys. But yeah, don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that other good stuff here at Movie Lovers Tonight. We also have a merch store, so get yourself some merch. And also, too, give me a 5-star review and everything on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, where you guys get your podcasts from. Take me on the go with you. Tell me what you guys think. Email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe day. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys. And thank you again, Chris.
Bye, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.